We've been spending the past week and weeks to come on some imperatives, things that every parent must do. There are some absolutes that we need to put into our parenting curriculum.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. And if you check back online at parentingonpurpose.org, last week we covered all 30 imperatives all in one day, on Monday, actually. So you can hear a summary of all 30. But then we went one by one. And just to recap some of these.
We do. And this came out of a discussion with some people in another city after a seminar, and we were out to dinner and, you know, just kind of going around. What are the things we need to do as a parent? And it began by many of these things were built into the parenting system for thousands of years. And now here we are today trying to figure out, well, is it soccer? Should I sign my child up? What are some things we absolutely must decide to take place to raise a responsible adult and a stable child? And we began by looking at basically the first few. And I think the first imperative that we talked about in the list is for the parent, not the child, is to remind myself, why am I doing this anyway? Why did I have children? And I think a lot of people have children without thinking about why they had children. Of course, had children. Aren't I supposed to have children? Aren't I supposed to interact with children? And I'm supposed to have children for a reason. I'm supposed to have children because I what? And that's the key. And I think for me, actually, it was my wife, Rosemary, who reminded me in a very nice way why I work. I don't work to better myself. I work to raise the next generation. But we've forgotten that, and we've become so career and promotion conscious that we forget, wait a minute, I'm doing this to make it a better farm, a better next generation, and next generation, and next generation. And I think for a few generations, we've forgotten that.
What about the person that says, you know, I really didn't even think very much about parenting?
Oh, I don't think anybody did.
You know, well, some people do. I mean, some people are really wanting to have a child and maybe can't even have kids, but others just, oh, okay, we're pregnant. Yay! and then they're stuck with life changes and kind of forget, well, this is a blessing.
It's a huge life change, and it's not just a blessing. Here's what we forget. We want to have kids, but if we sat down and looked at these 30 imperatives ahead of time, the things we're supposed to do with these kids, it would terrify us. And so I think God eases us into it. But I really don't think people think ahead of time that this is not just something I'm adding. It's kind of something else on the palette of life that I'm adding that makes up me. No, this is huge, of a total rearranging of what our focus is and why. And so I know I've said this before, but Rosemary put this little picture of Tori on the visor when I drove home into the West every night, coming home from Sheridan House into the sunlight, put the visor down, and there's my children on the visor. That's why you're coming home, Bob, rather than, Rosemary, I know I should help you right now, but I'm exhausted. I worked hard today. No, you work for this reason. So I think the first imperative is continually remind yourself why you're doing this. Otherwise, you'll just buy more things and stay more busy and take every promotion and every after-hour job you can to make more money for some reason. And I think the second thing we talked about is building the proper foundation. And the proper foundation that we walk through life on is really the answer to why. Why are we here? And you're either here for entertainment or here to better your career or you're here to serve Christ. I want my children to go out of the door with this basic thought. I may be your dad, but he's your father. I may be your dad in this house, but your father knows the plans he has for you. And I wanted to give them the foundation of a faith in Jesus Christ. And then I wanted to give them the third imperative we talked about was the ability to do that and the ability to follow God, not just know God. It's one thing to know God. It's another King David and Bathsheba to follow God. Mm-hmm. And that we started building around the theme of the year for us here at Sheridan House, the power of no, giving your child the power of no. If my no means no, and my child grows up under a consistent system where my no means no, and we spent a whole week on this here on the radio in the past. If my no means no, then my child will internalize that every time I do a no thing, there's a consequence. So why would I do any more no things? It's consistently a consequence. And so I give my child a great power as they go out the door to a party and say, no, I'm not doing that, or they get a credit card, no, I'm not doing that, or get to a college campus. I have an amazing power, and I'll never be a leader until I have the power of no, and I will never reach my full potential. That's what separated Joseph from King David. Joseph had the power of no given to him, and he was able to say no to Potiphar's wife. And then from there, the next step we looked at was impulse control, and impulse control really is helping my children, beginning with temper tantrums. You know, I talked to Tori today on the phone while she was driving with my 2.5-year-old grandson in the back seat screaming, and it was just
and you're chuckling.
I was chuckling because that was his mom when she was in the back seat at that age. But her consistency is incredible, and she remains consistent, and he's learning you will not get what you want with that. That's impulse control. You're unhappy, you didn't get get this, you didn't get to have that, and that's the incorrect response. Mm-hmm. You will never do negative behavior to get positive results mm-hmm. in this house anyway. But many homes forget that. Mm-hmm. And many homes, if you make my life miserable enough, I'm going to say, okay.
Peace and no crying at all costs,
That's right. That's right. And we miss it. So that was the beginning that we started with as we began dealing with, we call them the cracks in the walls, the potential difficulties in the walls. And really, temper tantrums and impulse control was one of those
and
things.
And that's a few, I mean, there's a few cracks that we're going to be looking at.
Yes.
So that was the first crack is impulse control, those temper tantrums. Because if you don't get those right, things are going to be a little strange in grown-up years when you see your kids as adults. And they're
still having impulse control problems. You know, I know I can't buy that, but I did.
Right.
And I know I should not lose my temper in this situation, but I did. And mm-hmm. some of us even use the phrase, well, you know, that's just me. That's just the way I am. And
what an excuse,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, it is. And I think we need to acknowledge that God will accept me just the way I am, but he doesn't want to leave me the way I am.
Yeah.
There's a power in me to change, but mm-hmm. I have to choose. It's a huge choice. Mm-hmm. So those were basically the first four of the 30 imperatives. And mm-hmm. I'm sure by the time we get to 30, there'll be 31 or 32, or people will write in with others. What about this?
You forgot this one.
That you left out, yes. And today we want to look at, in our time together, an understanding that every parent needs to have. And it's a very challenging understanding because we would like a simple system where one size fits all.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work like that because every child is different.
Yes,
every child is different. Imperative number five for me to know as a parent, every child is different. You have the compliant child where you kind of just have to look at that child and say, honey, do not touch that. And that pleaser child is, in fact, if that's your first child, you kind of think you ought to write a book. How hard is this? Parenting is really easy.
It's not so bad.
No, it's not bad at all. It's easy. And that's your pleaser child. And you often sometimes think that God then is setting you up for the second one to take you out at the knees. And that's the one.
Because when the second one does come.
Oh, the second one's going to be different. You know, in our case, our first child was our barbarian.
And you still had a second child.
That's the miracle. Tori was the barbarian and she took us on. She was absolutely awesome. And in taking us on, and I remember Rosemary saying over and over, why would she do that? And that's because Rosemary's a pleaser. Mm-hmm. She's a beautiful, brilliant, intellectual pleaser, where I am an overweight barbarian. And so in the process of this, I understood why Tori would take it on. I get it.
Yeah.
Why not? Just because you said no, just because somebody says no to me, I'm supposed to go, oh, that makes sense. No, I'm touching that just to see what you do. And it's almost for that one child, it's not even a matter that I so much want to touch that. It's you said no. Mm-hmm. And there's that synaptic disorder where I translate the word no to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to go touch that thing. And so we have to understand every child is different.
Didn't you ever have that moment like, why did this child come out like me, you know, or like the barbarian
way? I think
way?
You just took a shot at me, Ruthie. I think you just took a shot right on the radio. That's awesome.
I didn't say anything about the overweight person.
No,
I'm just kidding.
That's awesome. No, I think I was grateful. You want to know the truth? I'm glad my daughter was a barbarian.
Why?
My daughter brought it on. And when she got it, and by the time she was in middle school, she understood no meant no, and she had the power of no. So when she hit high school, she was awesome. And I knew she was going to be in charge of dates. And she was going to get the walking out of parties that are bad parties because she's a barbarian with enough courage to step up, to use that energy to step up. And so I was very grateful that I had a daughter barbarian rather than a daughter pleaser. I had a son who was initially a pleaser, and we knew we had to work hard to make him into a leader, and we had to leave him with some decision. You got to make that decision on your own. Well, Dad, what do you think? You have to make that decision on your own, because I wanted him to learn to please God rather than please the people around him, regardless of his environment. You know, the warning in Romans 12 says, don't conform to the pattern of your culture. Don't please the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you know, by the renewing of your mind, live your life for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so we knew we had to do that. But I think it's very difficult for parents to grasp the fact that the same two children come out of the same mom's body and could be so, did this one get dropped on his head in the hospital or did they switch this child? Your children are different, and knowing that your children are different means you emphasize some different things in the life of that child. And because the pleaser child is an easier child in many respects, I think you have to be much more sophisticated in the raising of the pleaser child, because I want them to get past just pleasing pleasing us as parents. I want them to be decision makers mm-hmm. rather than whatever you say is good, Dad. I wanted to help them with that. And so with that child being different, we had to place decisions in that child's hands. And with the barbarian child, we had to make the no mean no and not let that child wear you down. There's another part of recognizing and understanding that every child is different. It means if you're not careful, the pleaser child is more fun to be with. Mm-hmm. And if you're not careful, every time you go anywhere and you know you're going to take a child, hey, I'll take Roby. Mm-hmm. And you miss because you know when you take the barbarian child, they're going to say, can I have that? Would you buy me that? Can we go there? Can we do that? And you've got to be prepared for that and not let them wear them down. And I think as parents, we almost need to expect it. Okay, I was waiting for you to take me on this or buy me that or get me that. And we have to have our answer. We can't let them catch us by surprise. Why are we fooled by the same tactic every time yeah. and go like, oh, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you said that. Really? All our history together has indicated I was going to do that. And so acknowledging that every child is different, affirming that every child is different, and tweaking your parenting plan to meet each child. Mm-hmm. But let me say, if you're sitting at home today or downloaded this or listening in your car on the radio and you're thinking to yourself, I have three kids and I think they're both barbarians. I mean, two of mine weren't initially, but now they're both barbarians. And I would say that what happened is there's a flawed system there that's flawed enough that the barbarian child taught the two pleasers, this is how you get what you want. Mm-hmm. I took mom down. You watched me take mom down. And so you go from pleaser to a whiner and exaggerator mm-hmm. and way over emotional and manipulator because we learned. I mean, I don't like myself like this, but I learned I get mom to say yes to the no things if I act like my barbarian sibling. You have to be consistent. You have to know every child's different. And with especially the barbarian child, you have to continually work to reestablish the relationship because that barbarian child knows, okay, I'm not the perfect pleaser. I'm not going through life being wonderful all and everything. And I kind of feel like, am I the oddball here? And let me also say, if there's a divorce in the home, many times it's the pleaser child. If I was better, would Dad have stayed? Mm-hmm. If I was better, would mom have stayed?
Right.
Did I cause this? And no, you didn't cause this. Well, did I cause the stress? And I think the barbarian child is the child you want to spend 10 minutes sitting on the side of their bed at night when you put them to bed, rubbing their back, reestablishing the relationship. Because there's going to be a period of time where you take the territory, or if you haven't done it yet, then there's a period of a couple of years where you undo the habit of letting the barbarian rule the house and letting the barbarian be the one that you don't want to take with you mm-hmm. and avoid it all costs, or do everything in your power to keep the barbarian as busy as you possibly can. So you've got to go after that child.
Now, there's a challenge, though, when you have, like, I have four stepkids.
Yeah, you do.
They're all four completely different. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And they look different. They act different. But they're learning little tips from each other, like you say. One is picking up on hints, and it's kind of a sad thing to notice. But, oh, well, she's learning what her sister does, and that's yeah. not good. But so then you have different, what, discipline measures with each one. But you got to have sort of standards and standard rules.
You do have to have standards. You do have to have standards. And, you know, when you say it's time to go to bed, it's time to go to bed. You don't change the rules for that. I think the first thing you really need to do is you have to have staff meetings. There needs to be husband and wife staff meetings in the two-parent home. And make sure you're both on the same page and you're both going to back each other up. And then I think sometimes the pleaser, and usually pleasers marry barbarians. And,
yeah,
so you can say, well, you said that a little quickly.
Well,
I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know what you are. Yes. Which is realize. We'll just leave it right there at that. But I think we got to help each other with each of the children. And so often, instead, we get the children to bed, turn the television on, and veg, rather than just take a break and have a conversation. Okay, that didn't go like I expected it to go
right.
when it was bedtime. Let's talk through this. Or something happened on the way home from school. We need to talk about that. I think we need to spend time deciding, okay, this child is much more emotional. This child needs a little more warning before bedtime. You know that in 20 minutes, it's going to be bad. You know that in 20 minutes it's going to be bedtime. And there are those children, they're barbarians, that you don't want to catch them off guard. You want to prepare them a little bit ahead of time and get that in your mind. In the business world, it's interesting. You know all the people that work around you, and you know the people, you know their different quirks, and you work to know them so that you can work as a team. We need to be doing that at home too. Our children are different. We need to acknowledge it. It's not easy. We need to know our children and know how to best make our no mean no with each child.
You've been listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. We're going down this list of 30 imperatives every parent should have to train their child. And today we covered, of course, number 5, understanding that every child is different. You can hear today's program again and the previous points, the previous imperatives, online at parentingonpurpose.org. And if you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, the children's homes, even the resources that benefit the children's homes, just go online to shfm.org. It's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. You can even give online or send a two-letter text that will go directly to the children's homes. And all you have to do is text two letters, SH, and send that to 41518. And that'll send a one-time $10 donation to help the children's homes. We do hope you join us again tomorrow as we tackle number 6 of these 30 imperatives every parent should have to train their child here on Parenting on Purpose.